You are listening to the East Point Church Sermon Podcast. We're a church that exists to glorify God as a gospel community that is growing in faith and reaching the world. From wherever you are listening, we hope that you are encouraged and challenged by today's sermon.
All right, good morning, East Point Church. Welcome. Go ahead and find your seat. It is so, so good to be with you this Father's Day and to see all those beautiful children, man. That is what it's all about. And so welcome to East Point Church. Open up your Bibles to Psalm 113. I want to share with you a little bit from the Word this morning. And as you turn there, I want to tell you about a story with my friend Aaron. So I enjoy running. I'm a runner. You know, I like to run races, and you know, I'm one of those crazy guys. But the highest that I've ever gone in a race, the furthest I've ever gone, I ran a half marathon. And I remember at the time that sounded so intimidating, and I was like, wow, 13, the 0.1 is what will get you, right? But 13.1 miles. So I run it, and I had the thought immediately, and I was done. Wow, don't have to do that again, right? Like, I would be okay if I didn't do that. I would actually go on to run a few half marathons, but I just felt like that distance was, like, perfect for me, right? I achieved it. It felt good, no more. Well, my buddy Aaron, who started running at the same time as me, he calls me. He goes, bro, and you know the phone call is going to be good, right, when it starts with bro, you got to do it. You got to do it. How many of you have friends who have said to you, you got to do it? And you're like, all right, let's see it. I'm along for a good ride. You got to do it. He goes, I just ran a full marathon. And I was like, what, for real? Wow. I mean, we started at the same time. I mean, this is impressive, Aaron. Like, you really think he's like, absolutely, you got to do it. You got to do it. All right, well, I didn't think I would, but tell me more. And he goes, man, it was crazy. After the 8th mile, I couldn't feel my feet. I got 14 miles in, my blisters popped. After the 16th mile, there were no more porta potties, so I was in like this gastrointestinal distress. Man, it was crazy. You got to do it. Hold up, your boy doesn't sound like he's got to do nothing right now, all right? You got to do it. I know we're not talking about a marathon this morning, but there is something, friends, that you got to do. And I know you've heard it before. I know you're going to roll your eyes, but just hang with me for a few moments because there is something that you got to do. There is something this morning that you have to experience. There is something that is so good that I have done and I have experienced, and I am compelled to compel you, church. Got to do it. We're going to find one of these things in Psalm 113, and I'm going to share it with you, but just hear me this morning, like, you got to do it. You got to do it before you leave today. As a matter of fact, before we even leave this room, like, you got to do it with us. We got to do it together. You got to do it on the drive home. Fathers, in your cars, on the drive home today, on the way to lunch, you got to do it. You got to do it before you go to bed tonight. You got to do it when you wake up in the morning. Friends, there is something you got to do, and we're going to see it this morning. You know what it is? Are you ready? You got to do it, man. You got to praise the Lord. You got to praise the Lord. This morning, the Lord, he wants to show us something that is so grand. He's going to show you something that will capture your imagination. He's calling you this morning, brothers and sisters, because he wants to show you something that is so big that you can orient your life toward it. An overarching purpose in life that makes sense and gives meaning to all the smaller parts of your life. You got to do it. He wants to show you his glory. God in heaven wants to open your eyes and show you just how praiseworthy how breathtaking his glory is. He wants you to discover this morning. This is not just a little pep rally. This is not just a nice, cute little sermon. He wants to show you that there is an overarching reality of your life, and that life, the only life that counts as true life, is a life that is lived in complete devotion to and worship of his glory. You got to do it. You got to praise the Lord. Now, I get it. I imagine in a room of this size, let's just be honest, in a room of this size, there are some of you who you look at the praise around you. You look at the enthusiasm and the hand-clapping commitment of Christians that are in your life, and if you're being honest, you go, yeah, I don't get it. I don't see it. I just don't. I'm being honest, right? Like, God is a good idea. I get it. Like, Sunday, that's a good moment of encouragement. But an all-consuming passion that we worship with our lives? I'm not seeing it. And so maybe you hear my enthusiasm this morning, and on this side, you go, well, that's quaint. That's cute. Good for you. Or maybe you tend to see our enthusiasm as full-blown foolishness. Or maybe you're here and there's something inside of you that you go, you know, I don't get it, I don't see it, but I admire it. And there's even something inside of me that says, can I be there? Wherever you are in this room this morning, would you just lean in for a few moments? Would you allow me to show you a glimpse of something that is truly beautiful? Come and see what this praise is all about, because when you see it, you'll realize you got to do it too. You got to praise the Lord. And so let's look. Let me read our short passage for you, and then we'll go back to the top and break it down. Psalm 113, this is God's word for East Point Church this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. Lord, thank you for your word. Would you open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things from your word? In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 113, look what it says right off the jump. It says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. What is he saying? Praise the Lord. You're like, I saw that too. I was picking up on that. Praise the Lord. He begins with this exclamation of praise, and in Hebrew, it's actually one word, praise the Lord. Do you know what that word in Hebrew is? I bet you do, because you all sang it this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He starts off this psalm with an interjection of praise because he has seen something. The psalmist has got a glimpse of something that causes him to cry out. It causes him to grab his pen and to start writing some praise out loud with enthusiasm. And what is he getting a glimpse of? He sees the Lord. He sees God and his beautiful glory. And so what he sees, this is just too good. This is too praiseworthy. This is too beautiful to be praised by him alone. And so what does he do? He starts waking up the rest of the community. He's like, y'all, wake up. Get up. There is something beautiful. There is something that ought to be made much of. And so he calls the community to action. He says, oh, servants, praise him. Everyone within the sound of my voice, praise the Lord, faith community. East Point Church, this is a call to action. This is not just a passage to study. He is stirring us to action. He says, speak out loud. With your voice, declare his praiseworthiness. Voice your admiration. This is no time for internal musings. Noted. Yes, he is interesting, isn't he? No, he's saying he's moving them to action. Behold the panorama of his collective attributes. And let what you see take such hold of your imagination that it triggers a physical response. This is not just time for a nod of recognition. He's saying, extol his virtues. Applaud his greatness. Acknowledge and make much of it. He's saying, yo, friends, give it up for the excellence of God who sits in the heavens. Reflect on his beauty and let it capture your imagination in a way that results in praise. He goes, you gotta do it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you're sitting here, you haven't even had your first cup of coffee yet, And you're like, yo, tone it down, psalmist. What is the deal, right? Like, somebody had their coffee this morning early. And he tells us, he goes, no, his excellence, what I am glimpsing here, the thing that I'm calling you to see with me, this is deserving of more than a momentary acknowledgement. His name, his essence, the being of who God is, he says it deserves to be praised from this time forth and forevermore. In other words, God deserves an always kind of praise. Not just always, look what else it says. It goes, from the rising of the sun to its setting. We call that an all day kind of praise. So he's saying, the Lord, what I'm seeing here, you guys got to check this out, because what I'm seeing deserves to be out loud praised always, all days. The Lord's greatness calls for round the clock, round the calendar praise. He's like, y'all, get up here and look. He deserves to be praised. It's kind of hard for us to fathom this because, you know, we live in the Hollywood era. You know what I'm talking about, right? In Hollywood, everybody gets their 15 minutes of fame, and right? And so when you're hot, you're hot. Woo, boy, you're in Vogue. When you are in Vogue, you are on the cover of Vogue. You are in every commercial. You're in every movie. Everywhere you go, you see, you know who's in Vogue right now, right? My boy Chris Pratt. Is he not everywhere? He is in Vogue right now. He is currently having his 15 minutes of fame, and he's loving it, and he's actually a believer. Come on, Chris, right? But how many of you know that there will be a day that comes when somebody says, Chris, who? Who? Oh, yeah, I remember that guy, the Jurassic Park guy, right? No, I think he was in Parks and Rec. No, he was Mario. I just saw an interview the other day, and do you guys remember Dennis Quaid? Yeah, look at all of you just went, oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, Dennis Quaid. He used to be in Vogue. I saw that interview, and I go, I forgot he existed. Oh, yeah, Dennis Quaid. And what's my point, friend? My point is that nobody's fame and glory lasts forever. They're hot when they're hot, and so they're not. And then they're not hot when they're not. Cat in the Hat, I'll be here all day. Everybody's moment of glory will fade. Except God's. Except the Lord's. There will never be a moment in time. Look what it says. There will never be a moment in time when the Lord is less deserving of praise. Listen to me. God is never going out of vogue. There will never be a day in all of eternity where people go, okay, we get it. You're a big deal. Now let's search for something else to enrapture us with our praise and capture our imagination. No, the Lord will never not be deserving of praise. When you read the Bible, every once in a while, we get these visions of heaven. Revelation, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. We get these revelations of heaven. And when we get a glimpse of heaven, we always see God sitting on a throne and angels and creatures. And elders are bowing down, worshiping him, crying out. And when you first read these, you go, this is kind of creepy. Like, it feels like sci-fi level stuff, or like Dune 3, heaven. Like, that's what we're headed toward. And you think about it, then you go, why is God giving us this glimpse of the throne room like this? Because he wants you to know that there is never a moment in all of history, there is never a moment in eternity where his praise is not compelling and drawing forth praise, where his glory is not compelling and drawing forth adoration. There is not a moment of existence in the cosmos where his glory is not being acknowledged. It would be a cosmic travesty if there were a single moment in all of eternity where he wasn't being acknowledged as great. That's how great he is. The angels are singing around the clock. Will you join them? The elders are bowing down. Creatures are crying out. Will you lend your voice to their song? Will you join the number of their chorus? The name of the Lord is to be praised. There's usually two types of people in the room. Right, and we tease each other and we make fun of each other. Don't raise your hand. Don't tell me who you are. I already know. Some of us are thinkers, cerebral, logical, musers, right? And then there are feelers, Why are you laughing, huh? Right? We all know that. How many of you know the difference between a thinker and a feeler? All right, like, woohoo! You're a feeler, okay? Thinkers didn't even raise their hand. They're like, I see what you're doing here. It's cool. We're all different, and we tend to tease each other, right? Like, the feelers look at the thinkers, and they go, you're just so cerebral and cold and logical. And we look at them and go, well, you're just emotionally manipulated and get a grip, and we just fight. But here's what I love about this. Friends, this is not introverted versus extroverted. This is not thinker versus feeler. This is biblical obedience and emotionally healthy spirituality. Praise the Lord. Out loud. Like with your mouth. Engaging your voice box. Amen. The Lord and who he is demands and deserves verbal out loud recognition. He calls for verbal declarations of his goodness regardless of your temperament. The psalmist says to you, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do we compel one another to praise the Lord? When people experience relationship with us, I know we may not be on like the psalmist level, but bear with me here. When people experience relationship with us, is there something about us that moves people and compels them to go, oh yeah, I forgot he really is good. Dude, thank you for reminding me. I forgot he really is deserving of praise. He really is glorious. Thank you. I want to be that kind of person. Do you have that kind of community? There's a house over here by the rails to trails. There's a house where I enter, and this lady has a very eclectic garden. We'll call it that, okay? And she has these hanging shards of glass from a tree. And when you first look at it, you're like, why are they hanging recycling from the trees? Right? It looks like garbage. I mean, they're shards of broken glass, and they call it art. I'm like, okay, you know? But here's what I've noticed, right? As you get closer, as you start walking by it, you'll get a little gust of wind. And a little ding, 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 a little tinkling of the glass. It sounds pretty. But then the glass, it shifts. And all of a sudden, you have this like, bah, this kaleidoscope of light. And it catches the sun in such a beautiful way. And all of us who are walking by looking down, we go, oh, yeah, it is a beautiful day, isn't it? And as I look at that garden, I go, that's the kind of church I want to be. All of us broken shards where individually we're looked at and we go, that looks like it should be recycled. That looks like trash, right? And our broken, and bear with me, it's a metaphor, okay? Like, my pastor hurt my feelings. Listen, we're all broken. That's my point. And yet our broken, imperfect lives can catch the light of something infinitely greater. And when people come into interaction with us, they go, oh yeah, I forgot. He is beautiful, isn't he? Praise the Lord. All right, so what is it about God that demands so much praise? He's looking at something, and he's calling us, come up here. You got to see this. This deserves your praise. And so here we come. We're coming. We step up to the window. We see the vista, and what do we see? What kind of glory compels and calls for our praise? We see two things, two praiseworthy attributes, two things that are anything but glib and empty enthusiasm, two things, friends, that when you see them, oh, you got to do it. You got to praise the Lord. Look at the first one, verse 4. It says this. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? What do we see here? The Lord sits high above it all. We have a picture here of the Lord, and he's pictured as high up, like literally, spatially, above the earth. He doesn't office down the street. Our God doesn't live in a building. He's not confined to an embassy in the Capitol. No, he is pictured where? He is seated on high. He is high above our system. Recognize who we're dealing with here. Recognize the deity that we're talking about. He is not a God who fits in a building. He sits above the earth. Oh, wait, by the way, because he made it. Recognize who we're dealing with here. And have you ever seen that TV show called Our Planet? Kind of a remake of the old school Planet Earth. Remember that one? David Attenborough, the commentator from BBC. Remember that one? You're like, oh yeah, that one, all right? The British guy just giving us beautiful landscapes of the earth. I love our planet. We marvel at how big the world is. We watch these episodes and it's like mind-numbing to go, the world is so big. Personally, I'll show you what I love. I love the sea creature episodes. Anybody else? Like, I love the kangaroos that are hopping. I love the penguins. Those are cool. But like, when I see an animal that literally exists in the ocean that can eat me, that can swallow me whole, I don't know why that's so comforting. I'm not kidding you. Like, my problems feel so big. My life feels so big. And in my world, I'm like, oh, things are so heavy. Things are so big. This is going to eat me. And then I go, nah, you know what? You could be eaten by a whale. It's not that bad. I just like, I don't know, it's comforting. I know, I'm weird. But it's just comforting. Like, yo, it's not that big. I'm very small. And the world is so big. And like an ancient episode of Planet Earth, the psalmist says, our God dwarfs the earth. I know a whale can eat you whole, Sam. Our God holds the earth in the palm of his hand. We're serving a God who is so big here that he is high above it all. We are looking up to the heavens, right? We literally invented technology so that we can strain our retinas to get a little blurry glimpse of the galaxies. We look far up to see the galaxies. And it says here that God looks down to see the heavens that we look up to see. Not just, he doesn't just look down. What does it say? He looks far down. Your God is straining his eyes to have to reach so low because he is so high above it all. The sheer size and magnitude of our God deserves to be praised. It deserves a boast. Who is like the Lord our God? No one. Who is like the Lord our God? So friends, let me ask you this morning, do you see him as big? I'm not just asking you what you would answer on a pop quiz. I'm not asking you your position paper. I'm saying, like, honestly, in your heart, do you actually see God as big? Or do you, like me sometimes, have a pocket-sized God? We pull out of our pockets and we give him a nod of worship when we need. Maybe we put him on the dashboard if we're going too fast. You know what I'm saying? We pull out our little pocket-sized gods. We rub his head for good luck and we go, okay, God, thank you so much. I'll see you next Sunday. And now it's time for me to do you, right? You do you, I do me. And the psalmist is saying, hey, this little pocket-sized God, what? It's laughable. Throw it out. And see God for who he is. He is so big. And I know you feel so smart. And I know you feel so big. And I know you feel so important. And I know like all of your issues feel like they're so large. And I know that you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. He could eat you alive. And the whale. He is so big. Praise the Lord. I love what he says next, because he doesn't just say that he's like above it all, like positionally. Like he's not just above it all spatially. Look what it says. The Lord is high above all nations. So he's not just above it positionally. He's above us powerfully, meaning like he's above all this. Like he's not affected by what's affecting us. He is not moved in the slightest by the powers that be. Can I say it this way? His rule and his reign are not dependent on who's in office. Hear me this morning, friends. He who sits high on the heavenly throne is not affected by who is sitting on earthly thrones. It's an election year, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Don't get quiet on me. It's an election year, isn't it? Let me tell you, God's not running for office. God's not on the ballot. God's not sitting there with his campaign managers going, how can I get some more influence on this nation? Like, he's not competing. He's not writing speeches. He's not frantically trying to figure out, how can I get... He's not playing on the geopolitical chessboard. He's above the board. And oh wait, he's the one moving the pieces. He's the one who appoints and tears down, who elects and removes. The psalmist is trying to tell us with the whole book of Daniel, which we're going to get to in the next couple of years, the whole book of Daniel. Here's the thesis of the book of Daniel. Daniel, your boy, a Hebrew slave, is facing the global superpowers of Babylon and Persia. And here's what he says to them. He's writing this so that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will and sets over it the lowliest of men. The nations rage, but God's above it all. And here, for me personally, like, I'm going to share with you my response to this, because politics kind of gets me sometimes. You know what I mean? The nations rage, and there are three responses that we can have to politics. And I'm telling you, I cycle through all three of these, okay? Number one, you can see the nations raging, and number one, you can become anxious. Dude, I used to not care about politics, and then I had kids. And there's something that happens when you have kids that you start to become much more concerned with what kind of nation is my children are going to be raised in, and you can become anxious. And I start to worry, and I start to look around, and everything feels like a do or die issue, and things start to become scary, and I'm anxious. And so what do? Another response, I become overly absorbed. We throw ourselves into the issues, and we say, well, this will fix the world, and we become advocates and campaigners, and yes, this is all of it, and this is the answer. And we get absorbed, and then we realize nothing is changing. And 4 years of hype led to nothing changed. And so that's where we get our third response. We could become apathetic. We throw up our hands. We start to despair. What's the point? Things will never change. The world is ending. Our pets' heads are falling off. I don't even care anymore. And friends, what the psalmist is saying, when we look up and we remember that God is above it all, the nations are put back in perspective. I've been looking up to the nations. And the psalmist is saying, look higher, because he's above it all. Yes, our world faces war, economic recession, political unrest, social division. Our own personal worlds are filled with issues at work and family drama and big decisions and uncertainty and financial anxiety and insecurity and But we gain perspective by looking up, and we see that God is above it all. He's so big. We live on a tumultuous earth led by tumultuous people in tumultuous times. And guess what? God's not sweating. God's not wringing his hands going, oh, I don't know. God's not watching the news going, oh, what? Nope. He is perfectly in control, above it all. And so what's our response? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's so big. All right, so let's keep going. So we praise him. We take comfort in the fact that he's so big, that he is unimaginably higher than we could ever conceive. But we also praise him because he is so intimately near, more than we could ever hope. Look at the last few verses. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. Not only is the Lord high above it all, but we see here the Lord draws near to care for his people. We see some pictures here. We see three different pictures of people, very real situations. And anyone in Israel at the time of this writing would have understood them. And I think many of you in this room could even resonate with these stories. We see a picture of a poor man. This man is so poor that he is sitting in the dust. He's destitute. He's lowly. He doesn't have any of the earth's goods to barter with. Yeah. We see another person here who is in desperate need. They are so needy, right, that they are surrounded. They are sitting in the ash heap. The ashes, these are the signs of mourning. This is a person whose situation has burned down to the ground, and all they have left are the ashes, the memories of their broken experiences. And then lastly, we see not only the person in mourning, we see a woman. And this woman cannot bear children. That's a pain in and of itself. But in this day and age, in the culture, where the natural pain of that situation is compounded with shame. What did you do wrong that you can't provide children? Three people. And maybe you're here this morning and you have experienced one of these three unique situations. But even if you haven't, whether or not you are in their specific situation, you know enough of pain, I imagine. You know what it's like to be in need. You know enough of despair for the psalmist to make his point. And so the psalmist, he's saying to us, hey, do you see him? Do you know what it's like to be her? Do you see them? Well, check it out. The God that we serve, he is a God who comes and raises the poor from the dust. You guys got to look at this. We are serving a God who comes near to the one who is in a lowly position. The one who comes near. And he makes the poor people sit with princes as he exchanges their station. He goes, you got to see this. Look at this. We are serving a God who comes and removes the pain of the barren women, making her the joyous mother of children. Are you guys seeing this? And again, it's not about the specifics of being poor. It's not about the specifics of being barren. It's the imagery here. These specific acts of blessing, these specific acts of redemption are pictures of the kind of God that we serve. He draws near and cares for those who trust in him. He reverses the fortunes of those who trust in him. He's good. Praise the Lord. And so let me ask you this morning, in your life, real life here, 2024, where does it hurt? Where's the pain right now? Do a soul check. Where are you needy? Where are you sitting in the ashes, the reminders of burned down hopes and broken dreams? Where does it hurt? And I want you to realize this. We are serving a God who comes near to you. The God that we're talking about here in the Bible, you can discover in your pain, just as they discovered in their pain, is that our God is a God who comes near to comfort his people. God in heaven doesn't roll his eyes at you. He's not exasperated. Oh, you again, Aaron? Oh, my goodness, right? Daniel, you need more. Oh, I just helped. He's not exasperated by your needs. He is attracted to your cries for help. And we see that the Lord, who sits high in the heavens, he comes and kneels in the dust with you. The God who is so high that he is sovereignly directing the nations makes space on his agenda to come and listen to your cries. Praise the Lord. This is anything but glib enthusiasm. This is anything but just airheaded religiosity. Friends, this is a picture of something so deeply profound and meaningful that we cannot help but respond, praise the Lord. He is beautiful. He is good. His character deserves to be admired. His care and compassion deserve to be enthusiastically applauded. Praise the Lord. He is high above it all, and yet he is near to those in need. So praise the Lord. You got to do it. You got to do it. You got to praise the Lord. He deserves to be praised. Who is like our Lord? If you find somebody, go praise him. Until then, praise the Lord. Who is like our God? And so we look, and the barren woman and the needy man, they've experienced this God. The psalmist, he even gets a glimpse of his glory, and it compels him to compel us. But I'll tell you what, friends, as we look at this vista, as we look at the panorama of his collective attributes, I'll tell you this, we see it so much more clearly than the barren woman, than the man in the ash heap, than the needy person, than the psalmist ever saw it. They saw it in like 720, you know, like low-tech definition. And we get to see like QLED, high def, all the numbers that I don't know about. Like, boom, we see his glory. You know how? Because just as God stepped down into the ash heap to lift the needy man, just as God stepped down to be near to the barren woman, just as God stepped down to raise up the lowly man who was sitting in the dust, he has stepped down in the person of Jesus Christ to lift you up. God descended. He stepped down. Though he was high above it all, he stepped down and came impossibly near, because we who are spiritually poor, spiritually dead, outcast and enemies of God, he came to save you. Look what it says, Philippians chapter 2, speaking of Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He was in the form of God. He was sitting in heaven, high above the heavens and the earth, and yet he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The God who is high above it all has come near to us. And why did he step down? Why did he humble himself? Look at what the author of Hebrews says. Him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, he's now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. He came to die in your place. Why? Because the God who is high above it all comes intimately near to care for his people. And so every time we gaze at and focus on Jesus, every time we look at who Jesus is and we reflect on him with our community groups and we gather our families together to look at the word and we say, wow, look at who Jesus is. Every time we focus on him, we are seeing the glory of God in the face of Jesus, who stepped down to save us. His love compelled him to approach you with grace and mercy and love and compassion. And when you see that, you know what you got to do? You got to do it, man. You know what you got to do? You got to praise the Lord. How'd you know? You got to praise the Lord. You got to do it. And here's what I would love. Here's what I would absolutely love this Father's Day. Hey, men, what if we were the kind of men who, as soon as we got in the car, man, you got to do it. What if we were the kind of men that were known to our families because we are constantly leading our children and our spouses and our family and our community to go, don't you see it? Look, praise the Lord. May there be more dads at East Point Church who are made fun of for their singing voice. Because that means you're singing. Because that means your kids are hearing you praise the Lord out loud. Croak it out. Praise the Lord, because he deserves to be praised. Around your dining room table, here's a very simple activity you can do. We do this with my kids, and they love it. And after like 45 seconds, it's chaos. And I go, you know what? At least I tried. Because we're praising the Lord. We say this. Hey, kids, I get out a piece of paper. What are all the beautiful things about God? And I just start writing. He's awesome. Great. Yes, he's awesome. All right, cool. What else? He's big, right? Oh, yeah, he's super big. Just let them write it. Or you write it, practice. Let your children practice acknowledging and recognizing, wow, he really is great. And then when you know what you do is you take out all those lists and you turn it around and you go, wow, that's a big deal. Is that not? Really big deal. That's what my kids sound like, all right? Yeah, prepubescent, don't make fun of them. We go, that's a big deal, isn't it? He deserves to be praised. Right now, let's praise him. God, you are, God, you are, God, you are. Man, let's do it. Praise the Lord. Look at Jesus, be enraptured, and let your imaginations be captured by the beauty of who he is. And when you see it, you got to do it. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you have opened our eyes that we may behold the wonderful things that you have done. Lord, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't know who you are. I mean, how would we even know what kind of God you were if you didn't reveal yourself? And so, Lord, you have taken the guesswork out of it. We're not groping in the dark any longer, wondering who's out there. You said, here I am. And the two things we see, Lord, you are high above it all. And you are intimately near to us. And you care for us. So, Lord, would you receive our praise? Would you fill us with your spirit? Would you overcome the sin-riddled hearts that we have? Lord, it is so easy for us to be bored with your glory. And so, God, would you fix our hearts, mesmerize us, capture us, help us to see who you are so that we can praise you the way that you deserve to be praised. We love you, Lord, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't we stand? And there's something we got to do. Let's do it.
We want to thank you again for joining us for this week's sermon podcast. My name is Daniel, and I'm the music and creative pastor here at East Point Church. And if you were challenged, encouraged, or impacted in any way by this week's sermon, we would love to hear about it. It's your stories that encourage us in what we do, and we just want to celebrate what God is doing in your life. So you can go ahead and share with us at podcast@epeaston.com. Also, make sure that you subscribe to our channel to stay up to date with the latest sermons. Have a great week.